Hello, everybody, and welcome to Between Two Worlds podcast. It's good to have you with us, I think. Although we don't hear you, so it's good for me, at least. It's good for me to be here with you guys, too.
There may be people speaking.
But I can't hear them.
And you can't hear them. Doesn't mean they're not speaking.
It's true, but it means it's nice to have them with me because I can't hear them. But at any rate, it's episode 25 on this nice, warm, sunny morning. And I'm seated here with none other than Reverend Ron Friesen.
The right Reverend.
The right Reverend. Right, and your professor as well.
Oh, for sure. Today, maybe.
Professor Ron Friesen, yeah. As well as pastor in the making, Luke Friesen.
Pastor in the making.
So
Pim,
it's...
Pim. Call me Pim.
We're on the tail end here of summer, so it's things are kind of, in some ways, winding down, but in other ways, winding up. And so...
It's that whole back-to-school season.
I'd also like to point out that I was in Costco a few times this week.
And
not only is it back-to-school at Costco, it's Christmas at Costco.
But not even Halloween? Did they skip Halloween?
No, Halloween, that's come
been
and gone.
Already.
It's come and gone, man.
It's come and gone.
Yeah.
What?
For real. Well, I mean, you can still.
There's lots of costumes in there.
They're past that.
But Christmas. Are you saying Christmas is already here?
I'm just saying at Costco, look, if you want your tree, buddy, go get one.
I don't get fake trees.
Right, well, then.
Really? They had the fake trees out already?
I think so.
What do you mean you think so?
I'm not totally
sure.
But it's August, so...
What was it then? If it's not a fake tree.
All that stuff. They're Christmas decorations, man. They're chocolates.
The chocolates were out?
It's Christmas, buddy.
I think that's Halloween.
No. It's Christmas. Anyways, listen, it's almost September, so like...
Did you buy anything at Costco?
No. Oh, yeah, I did.
Or did you just go for free food samples?
Well, there's that.
That's what you do, don't you? You're teaching Mason that we will never, on Saturdays, have anything to eat in our house, but we're just going to Costco because we are going to fill up on every aisle imaginable.
Can I just say this, though? He is a sucker for the samples. Oh. And I tell you...
I wonder who he gets that from.
It does not matter what the sample is.
He's got to have it?
If it's in a little cup where a little napkin with a little fork served by a nice lady in a hairnet, he'll eat it. It doesn't matter.
Isn't that weird, though?
He'll eat it. It is a little weird.
But for you, if a lady with a hairnet and a little like plastic cup of food, that excites you. Like
not I
get
me, him.
You don't get excited?
I think I'd like to see you in a hairnet.
How about a beard net? Mustache net. Catch all these.
But you're
crazy
saying it
things.
Doesn't excite you. Ron? It excites me. Free samples at Costco?
Oh, absolutely. Most of the time.
It's
some
exciting,
of the stuff they couldn't give me.
Here's what I find funny about that is we'll actually serve them the very same thing. Like we won't get sucked into buying whatever they're sampling. But a lot of times we have it already or we can make something similar. Like toast and butter, for example. He won't eat it.
Well, you know the problem.
Why don't you
put a hairnet on?
Put a hairnet on and serve it in a little cup. That's it.
Just make a little stand in the hallway and just put a little table there.
And he'll eat it.
He'll eat it.
Oh, shoot. That'd be Jasmine. That's a new outfit. Drives me nuts, though. But anyways, it's not about what drives me nuts. It's time for our segment, Here's the Thing. And so this time for Here's the Thing, I'm going to turn it over to my man, Luke.
Okay.
Okay, guys. So here's the thing. You may or may not have known this, but I still live with my parents.
Yes, he does.
But I am. Take this. I'm moving out. 9/11.
Moving out.
9/11. I'm moving out.
September.
It's 9/0. It's 9/20. You're late.
Oh, that'd be September.
Oh, 11th. I get it. Mm-hmm. Not at 9/11.
September 11th. I'm moving out.
Moving out.
And I'm excited, but
that's
here's
okay.
the thing. Here's the thing about living with my parents is that...
Careful.
Okay.
maybe sooner than you think.
but here's the thing.
You got to tell us the thing, man.
The thing is, it bothers me when I come home and there's all these projects that never get finished.
What projects are you talking about here? Like my projects?
The multiple vehicles that are broken. the house that never got painted, the shrubs that you'd pull out one and there are still five together that the neighbor who comes home, he comes home maybe once a month and he says, "Hey, Luke." I'm like, "Hey, Brad, what's going on?" He's like, "So, you ever going to finish these shrubs?"
Oh, Brad, what does he know?
Well, he knows he comes once a month and knows you still didn't do it.
Well, maybe he shouldn't come home once a month.
Isn't it his house?
So
he can comment on his house, but not mine.
That's my thing, is that just unfinished projects. Just
unfinished projects.
Finish a project, Ron.
Luke, do you have any projects that are unfinished?
No. Well, I painted. I took my vacation time and I painted for you. Because when were you going to have time?
Like, we could put a biblical spin to this.
It's true.
I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work will perfect it. So that's kind of like there's a progression here.
Yeah, right. I don't know if your work is good.
They don't all get done in one day. And yes, I would be the first to admit that I maybe, potentially, take on one or two projects at a time.
If I asked Mom, being like, "Hey, Mom, how good is Dad at starting and finishing projects on time?"
Well, that on time is quite... That's a relative term.
Exactly, because if you don't set a timeline, like, then you're early.
I could be early yet.
Under budget.
My
question is, when were you planning on painting the house with your vacation?
Well, vacation kind of fell was the problem.
Was that
there.
A surprise?
The vacation, not necessarily, but painting the house, starting the house. Yes.
Maybe what you should ask for, Luke, is as compensation for your efforts painting or finishing painting the house, maybe you could get a cut on rent, perhaps. Maybe you could work in some kind of deal.
No, let's... if you want to broker something for Luke, you figure that out with another day. But you're not brokering his rent deal with us.
Okay? No, he can take that up with you.
Yes. Okay. I am here, Andrew. You don't have to tell. Okay. Luke, maybe you should be getting a deal here. Whatever.
So the thing, if I understand correctly, then, Luke, is just that unfinished projects.
Andrew, do you have any unfinished projects in your world?
I do.
What do you have?
Well, it's funny because we rent, like we don't home own yet at this point. So we just rent. So anything house related is kind of not really my deal. I send it off to my landlord. She deals with it. She's pretty good. And whenever problems come up, they get dealt with. But I got lots of unfinished projects. Like, there's always more organizing to do. We have lots and lots of storage space.
I don't know if you guys are organizing a project.
Oh, it is. Believe me. We have closets that have lots of space, but we don't use it very well. Or I should say, we could be using it better. I always I go buy bins, or I'll go buy things to be organized, and then you just get busy, right? So meanwhile, our storage closet is just kind of just fills up. It just piles
up. Shut the door.
Close the door. Don't call anybody over.
Yeah. So. I know. I think life is unfinished projects.
Exactly.
It really is. I think, you know, we won't get it all done.
Maybe I'm just too young and naive.
I know. But see, you are.
Or you don't work hard enough because you have too much time on your hands.
No, I just finished a project.
He's efficient.
I know. He comes out of the house Saturday and he wants to rip those hedges out. We had six hedges altogether. I'd ripped out one with a truck, I'd tell you.
2 months ago.
No, was it 2 months ago?
Before vacation.
Maybe it was 2 months
ago. Before you got your new truck, probably.
No, he had it with his truck.
Yeah, so maybe it was 2 months ago. I'd ripped out the first one. These hedges about 3 foot high and about
They're ugly looking things.
Like round as a globe.
Like, you look at them and you're like, that's not that bad. But then we ripped one out. We're like, okay, they're real ugly.
So like anyway, sin. So I didn't get them all out. And so he wakes up Saturday morning and says, "Let's get those hedges out now." I thought, okay.
So you
he's
need
here.
To capitalize on this.
We
you
did.
Gotta, you got to take advantage of this, this energy.
And Janae's boyfriend was home.
Yep.
So,
and he's strong.
He's a strong boy.
Oh, my goodness. I don't want to talk
Forget
about it.
Forget the truck, man. Just get him tied up to his waist. And
he was on the roof and he jumped off the roof. Didn't need the ladder. Just jumped off the roof.
The roof was probably 8 feet, 9 feet.
Yeah. Just boop, bop, he's off. He goes.
Onto the grass?
Yeah. He just jumped right off. Well, I don't need a ladder. Boom, boom.
Not the smartest guy, though.
Oh, my goodness. That guy is...
What he lacks in intelligence, he makes up for in brute force.
He's very intelligent,
physical
actually.
Appearance.
Anyways.
So
I understand there was a birthday. I understand you had a birthday.
Yeah, you just had a birthday, Luke. You just turned 25.
24, but I heard you just turned 26.
I did.
Wow.
So, congratulations, Andrew.
Thank you.
I didn't realize you guys' birthdays were that close.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Wow.
Yep.
It was a week apart.
It was a week apart, exactly.
Stellar.
What's interesting, though, when I was 18, right after high school, we talked about this a few weeks ago, I went straight to Cape and Ray. Yep. So I was 18, was at Cape and Ray. It was awesome. There was this old dude who signed up for Cape and Ray, who was like well into like his later years in life. This guy's name was Jeremy. He was from Saskatchewan, and Jeremy was 26 years old.
Old.
And he shows up to Cape and Ray with the rest of us, 18, 19 year olds. And we are laughing at this guy all year long. There was no end to the old jokes because he was this old dog, right? Coming around. He's already worked for a few years. He took some time off, wanted to reconnect with God and build his faith and yada, yada, yada.
So basically, you just destroyed him.
So we just tore him apart. He, great guy. Love him a lot. But we just, just ripped into him. And now I just turned 26 and I'm thinking,
Did you give him a call and be like, hey, man, I'm sorry?
No, I don't talk to him.
Why not?
Because I'm 26. But which means now he's probably 32 or 3. So
Real old.
Oh, yeah. Now.
We had the exact same experience with Cape and Ray. I was 18, and we made fun of the 22-year-old for being old.
We're like, laughing
now. You're so old at 22.
Well, you guys, you live in a very shallow world.
I know.
Just enlarge your horizons just a little bit here, guys, that there are people older than you
really?
That have still great value in this world. You know?
Yeah, like Vic Schellenberg.
That's right.
Yeah, great guy.
I thought it's an inverse correlation, your age to your value. It's an inverse. Anyways, so
September
approaches us quickly. Things are kind of ramping up. I know you guys are planning a lot of events, a lot of things, your retreat, all kinds of stuff. I'm doing the same. What I want to talk about a little bit is actually getting connected into youth. And so particularly for parents, thinking about youth for their year. I mean, it's that time where there's so many things that are kicking off. If it's not sports, school is the big one, sports, school, extracurricular things, music, all of these things can start to fill up. And I think it's the story that every family experiences is that week in, week out is just simply busy. Maybe too busy, I don't know. So how do we as parents, or how do our listeners as parents, try and understand or maybe rank or value or assign a value to all these different commitments? And where does youth fit into that? Should youth by default, because it's a church thing, should it be number one? Should it be 2, 3, 4? If you go to church on Sundays, is that enough? Do you still have to go to youth? Should we make our kids go to youth? How do we how do we understand this?
Well, just a couple of things, kind of a bit of a preamble to what you already said, Andrew, is that parents organize their calendars now. They kind of look at the fall, as you said, and they say, okay, what are we all doing this fall as a family? You know, in our house when we were growing up, there was a calendar and had September, October, November, December at least in there, and they wrote down what everybody was doing, practices, games, events, all those things. So parents then also want to know, okay, what night is youth on? You know, who's going where and what's going there. And maybe this is their time, especially those parents who are obviously involved in the church. And maybe if their son or daughter has not been involved or, you know, maybe hasn't kind of connected the way, this is a great time to start. So let's go. You know, let's figure this thing out again. And so I think parents want to know. So make sure, obviously, that you got all the communication you need. You know, we know what night we start. We know what time we start. We got expectations, all those kind of things. But I think parents do want to know what their kids are going to be involved in throughout the fall. And it's a commitment because they know they got to drive them, you know, for the most part. You know, they got to bring them there, pick them up. You know, is this something worthy of their time? You know, so there is a great deal of planning that goes in on this. And obviously, as youth pastors, you know, we've got to be ready for the fall. There's a lot of time that goes into, you know, making sure our fall is ready and the kickoff is there. And so because we want these students to come.
And I think maybe as an aside, it's a reminder for all of us to be that much more organized and ahead of the game. And by that, I mean, you know, getting... Just so listeners are aware, we don't plan our retreats the week of. Obviously, we're dealing, I mean, probably a year out already. You know, the retreat days are booked and we're building these things. And so our calendars are well established in advance. And so we do our best to get those details out, whether that's Facebook or website or Instagram, whatever means we can, to get that out. Because the reality is parents are busy and they're planning already maybe Christmas vacation days or a trip getaway or something. And so for us to get all this information out sooner than later is obviously a plus.
So what would you think might be some the angst for some kids maybe not wanting to come to youth group? Like, you know, mom and dad are kind of saying, yeah, you know, you probably should come. This is our home church. You know, you got great youth pastors, great leaders, blah, blah, blah. What would you say to a student who's maybe a little nervous about coming? And I don't know, what would be some of their barriers, let's say, mm-hmm. to coming to youth group?
Well, I would say that for one, for like the Abbotsford campus, it can be very intimidating. I mean, you walk in there and there's people who've called this youth group their home who are loud, outgoing, and mm-hmm. just out there. Because like this is their home. They're going to be how they act at home. They're going to be a little crazy.
Okay.
And they come in and they see everyone. It's like, wow, everyone here are friends and I don't know anybody.
Okay. So the lack of...
The lack of knowing people.
Okay. Yeah.
And so what I say to that is that we have great leaders who introduce you to kids.
Mm-hmm. Because so, often they want to come and making sure that they do know somebody, obviously.
Yeah, you know? They want to at least know one person.
You don't want to walk into a room. Nobody wants to walk in a room. Yeah. There's 50 or 100 or 20 in the eye.
Like, could you imagine if like someone like Andrew is inviting people over and he just invites random people over and they're like, I don't know you. Why should I come? And that's like this youth group is like, I don't know anyone here. Mm-hmm. Why would I come?
But even as adults, we're not any different. I was at a surprise birthday party for a friend. No, not for me.
No.
This past weekend for a friend. And they invited a whole bunch, or the husband for the wife had invited a bunch of other people who are in from other circles, from their Trinity Western circles or mm-hmm. whatever. And so we show up. And I mean, we're no different, right? Because I know one other person there, not including my own wife, but we know just our circle is very, very small, but yet there's 30 people in the room. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, mm-hmm. Teenagers have the same reservations us adults do, right?
Exactly. And so we can't expect the kids to be mm-hmm. just like, what, you don't want to go to this youth group?
Right.
What's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. It's loud and busy.
It's like, I don't want to go to places where like, hey, Luke, want to go to this thing? Well, do I know anyone there? No, you know nobody there. Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, that's more rare.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've branched out and I meet, but for those high school kids who are already timid and have only probably right. five friends, another five friends are going to be there.
So, what would be some of the ways that a student could overcome that? You talked about the leaders.
I think the biggest part is the leader and some of the kids that we do have in our youth group
mm-hmm.
Who will make that extra effort to meet someone new and to right. talk to someone. And I think that's the big thing is that actually that this is a Christian community who wants to see people thrive and get involved. And we have passionate leaders and passionate kids who love Jesus and want to see other people love Jesus as well. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a very good welcoming group.
Okay.
Whereas, I mean, some circles are not. And so this mm-hmm. is a very safe place.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
I think that just speaks as well just to the importance of community. I mean, all of us deep down, we all have a need for community. Yeah. And so that question, hey, who's going to be there? That's a question we all ask, even mm-hmm. at this party I just talked about. That's a question. Hey, who's going to be there? Mm-hmm. And why should I come? Or should I come? But I think, Luke, you said already, the leaders, I think, play a key role here. And I think not only in just being leaders and being welcoming, but one of the things I always encourage my leaders to do is, I mean, naturally, I personally can't connect on a deep, meaningful, intimate relational level with all of my students, mm-hmm. even if we have 20 or 30, whatever it is, on a youth night. I just can't. And so that's where youth leaders come in, right? You can kind of, in a way, multiply your effectiveness.
For sure.
And they're sort of your connecting rods.
Clones.
Exactly. They're your clones. Get them right where you want them.
Mm-hmm.
But they can do what you can't because, you know, the numbers. I was going to add, one of the things I encourage them to do is connect on a weekly youth night, connect with the ones you already connect with. Like, you know, so one leader might have four or five guys or girls who they connect with. Build those relationships. But then I also tell them to reach beyond that as well. And my goal, kind of as a mental note for all of my leaders, is that on any given youth night, you have said hello or greeted or high-fived or whatever. You've made contact with every single student, whether you know them, whether they're a guy and you're a girl or vice versa. But that every single student... And if that works, let's say we have 10 youth leaders and a student who's never come before, they might not know anybody. They might not, you know, find their, you know, soulmate there necessarily, but they'll get a hello, how are you doing? They'll get a connection from 10 different people
mm-hmm.
potentially if this all works. And so I really do think that that's significant.
So how long does this take? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, so you're...
Like how long should... parents be like, well, let's give this a try, or kids give this a try?
Like, I mean, because obviously if you're grade 9, grade 10, grade 11, grade 12, I mean, your maturity goes up. And so you'll take maybe a few more risks the older you are. But you've got a grade 9 student, grade 10 student who are, oh boy, this is brand new to me. I haven't done this. I'm not used to this. And then, you know, how many weeks does it take to say, hey, this is a good place, or can I make friends here? I mean, obviously, we know that these students, I mean, as good as you are as leaders, if they don't make friends there, you know, they're not there for a long time. So how long does it take for a student to say, yeah, or how many chances should they give it? Because obviously, unless you hit the gold mine the first night where, oh, this is out of sight, I love this place, which is good because some kids can kind of jump into that pool of humanity, so to speak,
depending on their personality,
right, and jump in. But the shyer kid, the student who, oh man, this is I'm not used to this, you know. So how many, how long does it take? Or as a parent, if I'm saying, well, you know, I know my kid's a little shyer, I mean, do I say you got to go 2 weeks?
Yep.
Or how long would you think?
I'd like to say 1 week. Like, I'd love it if people could come 1 week and be like, oh man, I just made a friend.
Realistically,
I'd love that. But realistically, for our size, I mean, I'd say bare minimum, at least to the, if you start September 7th, at least to the end of September.
So a good month for it to go.
At least a month. But if you really want to give this a shot, Christmas.
Yeah.
I'd say make your mind in the new year. And
I would,
like,
you know, I would echo that. And I would say this as a parent, if you're listening to this, is that, you know, and I've spent some time working with students who have struggled to jump in because we have a larger group. And so some students gravitate more towards the community group or the core group because they can't stand the big group. I mean, it's just too loud. It's too noisy, or it's just too many people and it just pushes them away. You know, they do. And that's totally legit. And we love to have kids that obviously are engaged on all of our levels of program. But those who just can do the community group or the core group, that's fine. But as a parent, I would say you need to make an agreement with your son or daughter. If there's a kind of a struggle here, and say, hey, let's try this for 1 month and then evaluate. Mm-hmm. We're going to go for 2 months, but after 4 weeks, we're going to evaluate. And then we're going to talk about what's good, what's not working, or what is working. And hey, okay, let's do it. You know, just so you know that I think students, they need the encouragement from their parents to go, but they also need to know that, hey, mom and dad think this is important. And I think that's a powerful thing. We're not here to replace parents, right? We're here to come alongside them.
Yeah.
You know, we're not here to be better than parents. We're not here to, you know, be the sole proprietor of their spiritual lives or their social lives or whatever. We're here to come alongside. And obviously to teach the word and to live an example of Christ, all of those things that would create, you know, the teaching aspect, the community aspect, all of the small group aspect, the leadership relationships, all of those things that are going to build those students in a significant way.
Yeah, I would also say too, it's hard to, you know, we can build a premise, and I think a week, best case scenario, would be great. Hey, come to youth, love it, keep going, make it, commit for the rest of your high school years. Best case scenario, obviously. But practically speaking, I agree. I think you really need to give it a half a year commitment, at least, you know, kind of 2 months. But probably the piece maybe we haven't spoken so much about yet is the parents really do, you know, they can kind of be big influencers in this. And also explaining, not just, okay, they drop them off, get out of the car, you know, I know you don't want to be here, but we have to because we agreed. And the parent, I don't think parents can be necessarily heavy-handed in saying youth group's important, where you're going. Remember, we made this agreement. But I think parents can really, like you said, Ron, evaluate and after a month, kind of figure out and also measure the growth. Hey, when you first started, you knew nobody. You were nervous about X, Y, Z. And here's all the things that were negative. How have we seen growth in the last month? And the other part, too, I think is another option is I get emails often from parents who say, hey, maybe we just moved here, or we just started attending this church, or whatever the case might be. And they say, I want to get my son or daughter connected into youth, blah, blah, blah. And there may be a certain uniqueness about that particular student, or maybe they have certain reservations, or, you know, because every teenager obviously is unique and has certain fears and certain, you know, things that make them. And I think it's helpful if as parents we can we can work together. Sorry, us as youth pastors can work together with the parents and maybe give extra care or extra attention in certain areas. If let's say a student really doesn't enjoy whatever, being vulnerable in small groups, or maybe has a difficulty reading and therefore doesn't want to maybe read the Bible. Like, it's sometimes it's helpful to know these things too, to really give make sure that their experience or their their trial time in youth really is successful.
Good.
Sometimes these emails can really help. Awesome. Luke, you got one more thing to add? No, you don't.
Do I?
I think so. You've always got stuff to add.
I mean, I've got lots to add about everything. But parents, I've never worked at another church, but I can safely say, Ron, back me up. These in the Abbotsford campus, I can't speak for Mission because I don't know who exactly all your leaders are. But
you know some.
I know some. But these are the best leaders I've ever met.
Absolutely.
Creme de la creme, I believe, is what they say.
Well, and I think, you know, we had a parents' picnic, parents of high schoolers picnic yesterday at church, and got to meet a bunch of parents and some of the students. And it was so good just to kind of connect and to reassure parents that this is a great thing. And we want to come alongside them and we want to meet them. And so don't be strangers to us. If you have questions, if you have things that you're concerned about, please email us, talk to us. But we really want to have your son and daughter and your kids just think this is the best place in the world for them on a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the youth leaders really are the heroes here. I mean, we can do everything we can to create the philosophy and the vision and the goals and the program. We can do all these things, but really and truly it's the youth leaders who are in the trenches, who are connecting. And so they really are the heroes. They don't get paid. They don't come out week after week.
They do this because they love it, which is weird.
Yeah. It is. Yeah,
I do this for the money.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah. But really parents, if you know, you're here on a Sunday and you meet one of the youth leaders in the hallways, give them a handshake, a hug, whatever's most appropriate for that social setting. But really, do
probably a fist bump,
maybe fist bump, whatever. Or
cool.
Mason and I, we always touch elbows. That's our thing. We touch elbows. Do whatever seems appropriate. But really,
does he know that's weird?
Thank your youth leaders.
Probably does.
And make sure they feel appreciated and loved. So, thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you next time. This is Between Two Worlds.